Greetings, my Beyond the Care podcast family. As always, I hope that something that you hear speaks to you and resonates to you. I'm excited that today I'll be interviewing two dynamic women. They are the co-chairs of the Passaic County Alzheimer's Community Coalition. These young ladies are in the community. They are sharing information and awareness on Alzheimer's and dementia. And I'm excited to hear from them today. So welcome them to the Beyond the Care podcast. Greetings and welcome to my Beyond the Care podcast family. Today, I have the pleasure of not having just one, but two guests on. And I'm so excited to talk to Latricia Gordon and Dr. Vila Fidler. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so let me read a little bit about their bio first. I'll start with Latricia Gordon. Latricia Gordon is a dedicated registered professional nurse with over 12 years of direct patient care experience. She helps to transition and strengthen the statewide capacity to deliver evidence-based care for individuals with substance use disorders. She also serves as the director of a behavioral health institution. In her volunteer work, Latricia serves as an educator for the Alzheimer's Association, where she chairs the Passaic County Alzheimer's Community Coalition. That was like a tongue twister. As an advocate for equity in dementia care, she leads culturally responsive programs that increase awareness and understanding of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. She collaborates with local organizations to ensure caregivers, professionals, and historically marginalized communities receive accessible education, resources, and support. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. And next we have Dr. V.
Yes.
Yes. She likes to be called Dr. V. Dr. V was born and raised in Paterson, New Jersey, where her passion for community, science, and fashion took root. She began her career in research before earning her Doctor of Pharmacy degree at Touro College of Pharmacy in Harlem with a focus on public health. After a decade as a community pharmacist, she transitioned into entrepreneurship, founding Urban Swank, a vintage-inspired boutique in Paterson that merges style, wellness, empowerment for women. Dedicated to giving back, she hosts community events such as coat and book bag drives and collaborates with local organizations to create elevated spaces for women. Currently, she's interested in developing programs to support individuals of vulnerable populations. As a caregiver for her aging mother, Dr. V has gained a deeper empathy for our aging and underserved populations, strengthening her mission to promote health, confidence, and bold self-expression through both service and style. So welcome again, ladies. I'm so honored to have you here today on the Beyond the Care podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yes. So you are both the co-chairs of the Passaic County Alzheimer's Association. Tell us a little bit about that, how you got involved, how long you've been working with them, and what some of the things that you do with them.
You go first.
All right. So yes, we've been with the Alzheimer's Association going on about a year. We started with volunteering as educators and doing a lot of outreach programs and education. And they decided to put together a local initiative targeting urban communities, more so Paterson, New Jersey, and asked us to be the co-chairs for that, that initiative. So more so recently, we've come together with quite a few individuals that are definitely great leaders in the community, and we are putting together great a lot of programs and a lot of education, a lot of resources and events that we can get the education and the information out to the community, which is our main goal, is that, you know, the urban communities are not utilizing the resources that the Alzheimer's Association has to offer. So we want to get that information out and, you know, decrease stigma about, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia and promote health and awareness.
Okay. So I know in your bio, we talked about Dr. V, you care for your aging mom.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit? And then we're going to come back, talk more about the Alzheimer's Association. Do you want to talk about your experience as a caregiver?
Yes. So, baby, we don't have enough time, but what I will say
Why
is
we're
what I will say is that was one of the things that ignited myself leaving corporate, because it came down to it caring for my mother or being at a demanding job that wasn't very sensitive and maybe forgiving when it came time to, I have these doctor's appointments. Like, you literally become the eyes, ears, wheels, you know, everything for that parent. And that's what happened. And at the time, the supervisor, he wasn't sensitive or receptive to what I was going through. So I had to make a decision to kind of transition out of that space. But I knew that if I was going through that, there were other caregivers that were going through the same thing and might not have had the backing that I had financially to say, I'm going to step down. But what did those resources look like? She's 81. She's a fiery Jamaican woman, very stubborn, and much like dementia, not willing to give up her independency. So that's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle. We have to revisit those conversations of, you're supposed to tell me this. You're supposed to tell me this happened. So it's an ongoing battle, but the alternative is her not being here, right? So I am blessed to have the opportunity, like I said, to have community involvement, still be active in her care. I can collaborate with doctors instead of physicians and practitioners kind of talking to me, and there being a lot of gaps in care and medication management therapy. You know, you go to, as an aging parent, they're visiting the ER a lot, and that physician might not connect with the primary care physician, so you have duplicate in therapy, duplicate in medication. So that goes on with a lot of indications for diseases as well. So I saw the need for that, and I was like, okay, how can I get involved? And Latricia was already an OG on the Alzheimer's Association when I came on board. So I'm really like following in her footsteps and learning the craft and kind of being her support system behind her. Because, like I said, she was here before I was. So learning the craft and navigating through our urban communities and making sure that we're getting the resources out to the community.
Absolutely. Awesome. So tell us about the Alzheimer's Association. What do you do as volunteers, and what are some of the things you've done with the Passaic Coalition?
All right. So, Alzheimer's Association, we're located throughout nationally. So, we're in every state. We are the Greater New Jersey chapter. So, our main office is located in Florham Park. We also have a, I'll put it out there and I'll say it again at the end. So, there is a 24/7 hotline, helpline that is available to anyone that is either a caregiver or just needs information about the disease or care coordination or just like in a sense therapy and support. So
Wow,
I'm going to
didn't
say the
know that.
number.
So we definitely have to share that with the audience.
So I'm going to say the number
Say the number.
1-800-272-3900. And
Let
I'll say the
write that
line. Say the
down. One
line.
eight
Yes, that's
hundred
an
so that
easy
we
one to
can make
remember.
sure. 272-3900.
3900.
Okay. In a 24-hour service.
And it's and they're available in over 200 language as well. So they have translation services that will help with communication. So so we've been really putting together this committee, and we've been targeting Patterson and Passaic County. So we've gone out to many of the senior centers, given information, really trying to combat the stigma with dementia, right? A lot of people may feel like they're forgetful or, you know, but it's like they're very scared to admit it or want to share and seek help and go to a doctor. So we're trying to just make it more comfortable and so they understand that it's a disease that they need to go to the doctors for follow-ups. And there's medications that are actually now available to work on the disease process itself. So before there wasn't. So now you can go to a doctor and actually ask for blood work, right? New FDA approved blood work, the Lumipulse test that if you're 55 years old or older, you can ask the doctor for that and they'll provide it, and that blood work will tell you if you have the biomarkers for Alzheimer's or not. So, even if
So
you go to a
I'm going
doctor
to
and
stop you right there. So if you suspect that a family member has Alzheimer's, your recommendation is that they go to the doctor and ask for a test, or you can go to the doctor with them and ask for a test.
Yes, and I'm gonna that I'm gonna even go over that step a little bit because
In
that
more detail.
that's intricate parts as well. Because it's very hard to get someone that you suspect that of having Alzheimer's to go to the doctor to address that situation. So I would suggest calling the doctor ahead of time and let them know what's going on so then they can address the situation. Instead of bringing it up while they're there,
Because that's
it might put
sensitive, very sensitive.
Because it starts to become like they're feeling like they're being attacked. And you don't want that because you could be delaying treatment, honestly. Because if they're not willing to cooperate, I guess, then you're delaying treatment essentially. And so you want to make sure that you're on target because the best thing is to get it as soon as possible. If you can be diagnosed as soon as possible, like she said, there's drugs and there's treatments that you can work with practitioners. So, I would say, I know we've mentioned before in other meetings where keep a track of all the incidences that are occurring that you may think is a little bit unlike the, very strange for the individual, right? So if this individual was someone that was very neat and tidy and now they're very unkempt, right? Or they're becoming more forgetful or just not their usual selves, I would say keep a log, right? And so that when you call the doctor, you can say, okay, on these dates, this is what she was doing, and this is just not what this individual is used to doing. So have that information, call ahead, and then like we have a doctor's appointment, a follow-up or something of that sort without saying, hey, you're forgetful. I think you have Alzheimer's. We gotta go to the doctor. You're not gonna get a good response from that. So
So I recently had a conversation with an elderly woman, and she was diagnosed with dementia. And I think for her, it was the fact of knowing that at some point, I may lose all of my memory, my memory loss is declining, my motor skills may be declining. So it's that fear of hearing that I actually have this diagnosis. And that's great that you try to address the stigma. Because, knowing that I have this disease and what does it mean, this condition and what does it mean for me, it's probably worse in your mind hearing it than actually dealing with it.
And even for that individual, I would say for with the stigma of not wanting to know, right? I would say, listen, if you do get diagnosed with a dementia or Alzheimer's, right, you want to still be able to plan out the rest of your life in your care while you're still
That's a good
able to.
that's
So
a
you
great
don't
point.
want to not know until much later on where you can't even make your own decisions. So make those decisions now while you're still able to and take control of your how you want to spend the rest of your life, rather than have that be in the control of someone else. And it may not be something that you would have wanted. So those are some of the topics we definitely stress so that people will go out and get tested and seek the care they need.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I was just about to say also, the more you talk about a disease state, it becomes more familiar. And I don't think we talk about it enough in our communities. Like she said, there's such a big stigma when we go to different institutions and depending on who's there with the demographic, as soon as we say it, they're like, no, I'm in my right mind. No, I'm fine.
I don't
But if we
have
were
it.
to make the topic more normal, I think, normalize the topic and talking about it more, how we do for high blood pressure and diabetes, those are still indications that we don't want to hear that we have, but we're used to saying, oh, such and such has that, and I need to control this, and I need to take care of that because of this. When it comes to dementia, it's more so, I don't want to hear it. No, I'm in my right mind. That's not me. I don't even want the flyer. So I think if we normalize the conversation around it, we'll be able to navigate the disease state a little bit better.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, looking at the cultural aspects of our community, we definitely don't want to talk about things that we
Right.
consider taboo. And so there's that cultural piece of dementia amongst African Americans in the Black community and Caribbean community, as you mentioned with your
Yes.
mom.
Yes.
So, Latricia, you mentioned dementia, you mentioned Alzheimer's. There's always this distinction between dementia and Alzheimer's, and people are not clear. Do either one of you want to address that topic and educate the audience a little bit more about the difference or the distinction?
Yes. So dementia is the overall umbrella term for memory loss or cognitive decline. And then Alzheimer's is one of the causes. So there are many different causes of dementia. So Alzheimer's is the number one leading cause of dementia. And then you have others. There could be Lewy body dementia or vascular dementia,
Frontal temporal.
frontal temporal dementia. So the reason why Alzheimer's and dementia just seem to stick together, and that's all you hear, is because Alzheimer's is really like the leading cause of it. So that's what that is. And Alzheimer's is because of buildup of the plaques in the brain. So that's what is causing that disease process, is the plaques.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So, Dr. V, as a pharmacist, and we've talked about there are some medications available, can you tell us a little bit more about the medications available,
What is
what you
I just
see?
what's me? What's the indeed the newest
Donemab is the new
Zumab,
yeah, it's
yeah,
the new one.
Donemab is the new one. Like she said before, the medications that they had before, it was only to slow down what they thought was the progression of the disease. So they didn't have anything treatment-wise where you can ingest this medication or have it injected in you, and then you would actually be treating the disease like we do for other disease states. We had a medication where you could take it, and it was kind of like a hope, wait and see type of thing, like come back in a month and then we'll do another assessment and we'll see, if it's if it's slowed down or stopped the disease progression. But now that they have medications, it's like, okay, we can actually, the hope is to actually start to reverse, as Latricia mentioned, the plaque in the brain, which is the buildup of that protein that is causing the dementia.
Yeah, so it's not a cure. It's not a cure, and it's slowing down the progression. So like delaying the plaque buildup. Those other meds previously were just symptom based, right? Just kind of helping with the symptoms, not working on that actual disease process. So the hope is that with more clinical trials, that they'll be able to actually come up with a cure. And a lot of people are you're hoping that within the next 10 years that there'll be some for we'll be able to treat this, like, high blood pressure and cholesterol and things like that. So there has been a lot of breakthroughs in the last like 2 years or so. We're talking about with the blood work, which this is the first we never had before, the Lumi Pulse, like, and then now with the new medication that's the it's delaying the buildup of the plaques, not just treating the symptoms. So we're hopeful. We're hopeful. We're working
I was
on
gonna say hopeful.
And just might be mindful that the medication that's out now, it only works if it's detected early enough. And that's why we're stressing that, as much as people, it's like a hard disease to, to
To
really, like
diagnose.
grasp and that, digest. But if you want to know, because you can actually slow it down a bit, right? And plan out the rest of your life. So, it's not complete hope,
It's not a
like
death
hope. Or
sentence,
hopeless, how it's
usually observed as a death sentence. You can still live and have a fulfilling life with the disease. You just have to navigate what that looks like for you now while you get treatment.
That's really good.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's good for people to hear that it's not a death sentence and you can live a
Yeah.
long life, you can live with it for many years and you can
Yeah.
live a fulfilling life.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So the Passaic Coalition, Alzheimer's
Yeah.
Coalition. I know you've been doing some great things recently. You had a fundraiser in the park, which I attended.
Thank you.
You have a walk coming up. Tell the
Yes.
audience about some of the things that you're doing in the community,
All right. So,
or some of the things you have done.
like you said, we'll work backwards a bit. So we did have the barbecue that in Hofstra Park and Prospect Park, where we had it's free. The community came out. We gave education, and it was just to bring awareness. Like, that's just another way of bringing awareness to the community. People ask questions. We collaborated with different organizations on that we sponsored that are also in the health industry as well. So, and they offer their services too. So that was amazing. We had a good turnout and great support from the mayors and the political officials in those towns. And also, we've done senior centers. We've gone out to adult medical daycares. We've gone to churches and gave presentations. So we're really getting in the community in whatever angle we're able to get in. We'll go there as long as they're accepting of us and they'll receive us well. And we definitely educate. And everyone seems to be very engaged, and they have questions and they're hopeful, right? And that's what it is. And it's varies from different age ranges. It's not just the elderly, it's even younger, because at the end of the day, and even though it's a disease that aims at the elderly, 65 and older, really at the highest risk, you can get it before that. And you can actually take preventative measures, like with controlling like your blood pressure from a younger age, and cholesterol, diabetes, exercise, healthy dieting, Keep that mind going.
things,
Yes.
like,
Keep that mind going.
right. So it's not just going out to groups that are at the highest risk, it's also prevention. So we try to get that information out to the younger crowds as well. Coming, you mentioned the walk. We're having the walk at Hinchcliffe Stadium. So we're doing a community walk on October 5th at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So we're reaching out to as many organizations, churches, like everyone, to just let them know, come out and be active, right? Because that's another way of preventing this disease. So walk actually, a great way to get everyone out and be engaged and aware of what's going on in with Alzheimer's and dementia. We also have a faith-based tour coming up. So A
we have
faith-based walk tour.
faith-based tour.
Oh,
So
tour. Okay.
yeah. So the Alzheimer's Association and Rutgers Health are collaborating on a brain health awareness faith-based initiative, where we go to any faith-based organization. So it doesn't have to just be churches, it can be mosques, synagogues, any religious institution, and educate on actually how substance use disorder plays a role in the brain, and the stigmas with that, because there's a lot of stigma with that, and not everyone knows how that works. It's not just a disease of moral failing, it's a choice. There's actually brain chemicals that are changing, and that also can lead to dementia as well. So we decided it was a great idea to combine the two, address both stigmas, and address those kinds of organizations, because a lot of people lean towards their religious leaders for advice and counseling, and how they respond matters. If they don't know what the disease is or how it works, or they have stigmas themselves, or like they're being shunned, like who are they going to turn to? So we're excited about that tour. We're doing our soft launch this month, and we're going to go through that until the end of this year. So it'll be September through December, that tour. So
It's
anyone?
interesting. Now, is that only for Passaic community?
No,
The
all throughout New
Passaic.
Jersey. All throughout New
Oh,
Jersey.
okay. So I'll
One
definitely
thing.
talk to you more about that.
I was just about to say one thing as an entrepreneur, and as I go on my entrepreneurial journey, I've learned that if you build a community, they will come, and they'll be more receptive to the information that you are giving during, that fellowship with the community. So as we do the faith-based tour, we're doing the walk, we're collaborating with other organizations. The whole point is to build this community, like I said, to gain awareness, and we're normalizing the conversation around it. So I think a big thing centered around community movement, and the more people that talk about it, I think we'll get the topic to the forefront, and we can normalize it, and then we can have some, political figures start to see, wait, there's something here. We need to be putting this at the front of healthcare. We need to
Right.
be putting this in front of
Policy.
urban policies and communities.
Yes.
So that's basically the foundation, the basis of what we're trying to do.
So when I was doing my research on caregivers' health, one of the things that came out was this whole foundation of faith, and that most of the caregivers, you know, their coping mechanism and how did they deal, it was their belief that they would get through this, and faith was truly at the center of their caregiving journey. So for you to introduce this faith-based tour is really a great thing for dementia and for caregivers.
I spoke with a pastor today, and we were talking about caregiving, and he mentioned that they had a program now that is called Help for the Help. Okay, and we're really discussing dementia, Alzheimer's, and everything else that comes with aging, and it just touched on that. I was just like, that's such a great idea, help for
Yeah, help.
Right. And again, that's the reason why I'm doing this podcast. I was a caregiver for my mom who had dementia, and you know, again, my research was addressing caregivers' health. And so we just need to provide any resources, any information that we can to caregivers. I do have some pastors who I'm interviewing as well, because again, looking at that piece, that cultural piece and the religious and the faith-based piece, because you know, God is not going to give us more than we can bear, and the Lord is
That's
going to get me through it. You know, that's how we operate in our community. The Lord is going to get me
Yes,
through
that's
this, you
it.
know.
Just keep
My
going.
faith will carry me through. So that's a great thing that you're doing. Oh, something else I just wanted to go back to. I made a quick note when you mentioned the prevention measures. I was speaking to a doctor recently, and the number one thing she kept stressing was sleep. Getting when you're looking at dementia, Alzheimer's, getting adequate rest and sleep kind of scared me, because I know I don't get 6 hours of sleep. No matter if I go to
Any of us
bed and
do.
I
I
am
don't think
dead
any of us
tired, I
do.
cannot sleep past 5, 6 o'clock. So she did stress sleep, getting adequate sleep. So I just want to bring that, because I know you talked about some of the other risk factors. Okay, so when you go out to the community, what's your key number one message?
How would we wrap that up? I think it depends on where in the community we're going to. Like I
And who
said,
your
it is,
community is, who
yeah,
you're addressing.
exactly. So, some of the urban communities, we have to approach it differently because of the stigma that's there. So you can't go in saying, listen, if you have any of these symptoms, that they're like, you've already lost them. They're like, no, and they're walking away. Sometimes we introduce it as, did you lose anybody, this to this disease? I know we did a couple of tabling events with the links, and that was one way that we were able to open the lines of communication, because it was like, you know what, I have a neighbor. And then somewhere in that conversation, we started to talk about them. So it really depends. I think you have to kind of cope to see who you're talking to, who you're speaking with, and what avenue are they coming from. If they're a caregiver, they have this look, and I'm like, I'm connecting with it, this look of despair. Just I'm tired, I'm overworked, I haven't had any me time, and they don't even know that this 1-800 number exists. What happens when they knock all the medication on the floor? There is a moment of aggression that can happen with dementia. We talk about the lighter side, but there's some deep rooted, situations that can happen. And sometimes that feeling of loneliness is what, when you feel like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, along with faith and other things. Sometimes you need to know there are resources out there. So kind of knowing your audience and knowing who you're talking to sometimes helps the conversation.
I mean, going off what you're saying with that too, and what we're doing, I would say a lot of what we're doing, we're pretty much saying we're a community, we're together with you, we're working together with you. I say it takes a village. Like, never feel alone. We're here to support. The Alzheimer's Association is here to support you in whichever way we can. There's many different programs you offer. We have online support systems. We have care consultations, educations, and trainings. It varies. Even care coordination, if it's something that they can't provide, they're on the phone and late making those connections. So, and even if it's like a late night call, you have an individual that may be aggressive or upset, and you don't know as a caregiver what to do. It's your mom, and she's about to leave out the house because she's throwing a party or something. I don't know. I had that at one of
I've
our
had the police called on me before, like, you're not my child. Let me call the police.
And how that can, at that point, I didn't even know, like how are you feeling
What am I, you know what I
at
mean?
that time? Like, you have to call somebody. Call the police. 1-800-272-3999.
Right. I was going to say, is it the
Tonight,
same number?
or
Same
if
number.
one of
1-800-272-3900. We need to just
no,
stay up
really, and
this.
that's why we're here for. So we're a community where it takes a village, and it literally does. You can't do it alone, and when you do it alone, that terrible that burnout. But there was that one news article with that actor that passed away, and his wife passed away. She was the sole provider for that actor. He had dementia. No one else was taking care of him. He didn't talk to any of his family. She got sick and passed away, and he was still alive. But because there was no one else,
He died a week
he
later.
passed away like a week later without his family. So who's there for the caregiver? She was so burnt out not getting. If she went to the doctor
Exactly.
and was able to take care
Care
of
for
herself,
herself.
she would have realized, oh, this is something that could have been treated. And but.
And that, unfortunately, that's what the research shows, that as a caregiver, you have higher rates of stress, anxiety, sleep deprivation, morbidity, heart disease, and mortality. So the key is you have to take care of yourself as well.
That's it.
You know, it sounds easier. It sounds easier than it is,
Definitely.
but
Yes, it definitely.
you have to take the time and make some time to care for yourself as a caregiver. What advice, besides taking care of yourself, making sure you're going to the doctor, what advice would you give to caregivers?
I would say, even though it might become a lot or a burden at times, I think cherish those times. Someone explained that to me. Even if you're taking care of someone that has Alzheimer's and it becomes like very taxing, those times are you're gonna cherish when that person passes on. You're gonna be able to look back and remember those moments because you're having extended time with them. You're actually given the knowledge and know that, this is time that needs to be valued. So I would say value every moment that you have. That is
Absolutely.
like, the underlining, I guess, optimistic view of that disease is that and that these are times that you have to cherish. A lot of times we're so busy, if like out and about, and
Scheduling.
I'm gonna see mom next week or a month from now. But when someone has Alzheimer's and dementia, time is, valued and it's limited, unfortunately, and just cherish those times.
I was gonna say, studies have shown that they do need routine when you come to moderate to severe with Alzheimer's. They do need routine, but sometimes maybe you want to do something where you are giving them an experience where, like she said, you're cherishing those times. Because I know when my mother was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, it just became, okay, 9 o'clock, we have a doctor's appointment, 10 o'clock, we got to do this, 12 o'clock. And then that one day I just stopped and I was like, you want some ice cream? Like I was becoming the nursing facility. I was like,
You were the
you gotta do this,
pharmacist.
you gotta do that.
You
And
were the doctor.
and as tired as I was, because I was like, in my brain, not God, but me, I'm keeping her alive. That's what's happening in that moment. And if I don't do this, I might lose her tomorrow. I noticed that I was burning her out.
Like another appointment.
Stimulating her.
Because your life became the
Yes.
disease
And because of
and
my
not
fear, exactly. So,
and not living
and
life.
there you go. So one day I just looked at her and she just looked so burnt out, and so tired from getting stuck and all of these things. And I just wanted a moment. I want some ice cream. And she just looked like a little kid in
You're
a
like,
candy store.
it's not, Ice
That's
cream.
not on the schedule. I'm like, no, we can go. So just remember to live for them as well as taking care of yourself. But try to remember the things that they loved. If they love music, put something on, put an oldie but goodie on
Right. Oh.
and dance in the
And
house. You know,
dance,
let down
yeah.
your guard. You don't always have to turn into that caregiver where you're like, this needs to be done. Yes, those things need to be done, but life is still happening and really try to remember that.
I love that Paula said, person first, right?
Yes.
It's first, you always talk about person first language, right?
Yeah.
They're the person before the disease. A lot of times we
Yeah.
talk about that in
Yes.
addiction, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they're an addict.
Yeah. Like,
Mm-hmm.
no,
Mm-hmm.
they're a
They're a
person who has
person.
substance
Yeah.
disorder. So they're a person. They're not the disease.
Yeah.
So I love that highlight.
Yeah, great
Yeah.
advice. Great advice. Any other advice or any other words you'd like to share with the audience? I know we could probably go all
I
day
know. We're
talking
so
on and on.
relaxed.
There is a lot. This can be one of many conversations
Yes.
because you both had so much to share and so much good information. Anything else that you'd like to share or talk about?
Well, just a reminder for me, if you're in the area, October 5th, this is a big launch for us. I know we were trying to get familiar with our community by doing the barbecue, but this walk, like we said, can really make a difference and shift what it looks like for the urban community when we talk about policies and things of that nature, showing them like we are showing up for our community and we do feel that these topics are deserving of our presence and their attention. So if you can, October 5th, join us, tell everyone you know. Let's walk, let's fellowship, like we said, and let's build that community. So I really want to that hotline and October 5th are the two things that I want to leave with your community.
Now, how can we find more information about October 5th? Is
The
there?
flyer, we can send all of
So we
that.
can I've been sending out the flyers. We have a walk page. So if they go on the Alzheimer's Association walk page and they put in, I believe it's the Passaic County Alzheimer's
Coalition,
Coalition,
yes.
Community Coalition Walk.
This is tongue
Sorry.
twister. Yes. Passaic County
Alzheimer's
Alzheimer's
Community
Coalition.
Coalition.
Yes. You'll be able to find our walk page, and there's a flyer on that page, and they can register from that flyer.
Yes.
Sorry for the tongue twister. There's a lot going
Okay.
on. Yes.
Yes. All
Yes.
right. So the key to this conversation is awareness.
Yes.
Yes, awareness, awareness, and life be lifin'.
Yeah.
So,
All day,
like they
every
say,
day.
life be
All
lifin',
day, every day.
and
Yes.
you just have to take some time to just go with life, find
You
out more
do.
about this disease, find out there are cures, there's information available, there's this hotline number that if you are a caregiver or if you suspect someone who has dementia, Alzheimer's, there are resources and there's information available.
Yes.
Ladies,
Thank
thank you. Thank you for sharing your
you. Thank you so
knowledge.
much.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge with not only the Beyond the Care podcast family, but with the community as well. It sounds like you're doing great things in the community, much needed things to talk about this topic. And we thank you. Hope to have you on again and appreciate all that you're doing.
Yes.
Thank you
Thank
so
you so
much,
much for
Dr.
having us.
Paula.
All right. Any last words before we wrap up?
1-800-272-3900. Call
Yes.
that number.
Got
We
it.
have plenty of resources and we're here to support you. So there you
Got
go.
it. Thank you.
You're welcome.